The Arkansas courts decided two cases on state and local government this week. In Siegel v. State, 2021 Arc 228, the Arkansas Supreme Court, in affirming an order denying return of dogs to a defendant, noted that the defendant was found guilty in district court of animal cruelty of 31 dogs. The circuit court agreed. The appellate arguments centered on due process and a constitutional challenge to Art Code and Section 562-106 and Section 562-111, setting out a procedure for return of animals. Here, the defendant waited 2 years to seek the animals' return. Justice Wynn explained. In February 2018, while the state's appeal was pending, the circuit court held a hearing to determine the status of the seized dogs. The evidence included the testimony of Angie Herringer, who had accompanied officers in the seizure of the dogs and placed or helped place them in foster homes, and Michael Glass of Pennsylvania, who testified regarding the value of the dogs. On December 6, 2018, the circuit court entered a detailed order titled Conditional Order Granting Motion for Return of Seized Property. The circuit court found that Siegel had kept the 31 Schnauzer dogs exclusively for breeding purposes. After the dogs were seized, it was determined that many, if not all, had health problems, including heartworms. Three dogs died in 2015 while undergoing necessary heartworm treatment, and most, if not all, of the remaining dogs had been spayed or neutered and relocated where they had been kept as pets for over 3 years. The court further found that it would serve no purpose and be inhumane to return the altered dogs to Siegel after they had been pets for that length of time. The court ordered the Craighead County Sheriff's Office to conduct an investigation to determine the location and status of any seized dogs and to provide a report. The order stated that the court would schedule further hearings if necessary. On October 1, 2020, the circuit court entered a final order in regard to petition for return of seized property. The court adopted its prior order and, pursuant to the sheriff's office investigation, found that only one dog, which had been spayed, had been located, the rest being dead or their whereabouts unknown. The court further found that Siegel was entitled to the return of the seized dogs and that she may pursue any claims for damages as set forth in paragraph 6 of page 6 of this court's order of December 6, 2018, or pursue other remedies available to her resulting from the loss of the animals resulting from the seizure. End of quote. In her appeal, plaintiff argued the circuit court erred in not ordering return or assigning a value. Plaintiff also argued the statutory scheme was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court, in affirming, wrote, Siegel's arguments on this point are not persuasive. First, the statute contemplates relatively quick action by the district court to determine custody of seized animals upon the petition of either the owner or the prosecuting attorney. Art Code and Section 562-106A4. Here, the district court eventually placed custody of dogs with the Northeast Arkansas Humane Society, but the dogs remained scattered in foster homes, and that organization did not take any action regarding the dogs. When Siegel filed her motion in circuit court to have the dogs returned to her, over 2 years had elapsed since the dogs had been seized. A final order was not entered until over 5 years after the seizure. There is no indication that Siegel posted a bond for the care of the dogs as contemplated by the statute. In sum, the procedures set out in Section 562-106 were not followed. Furthermore, the statute does not provide for an award of damages to a defendant. Siegel argues in her brief that the circuit court should have determined damages and ordered that compensation for the damages be paid to her by Craighead County. But the county is not a party in this criminal action brought by the state against Karen Siegel. Arkansas law is long settled that service of valid process is necessary to give a court jurisdiction over a defendant. State v. West, 2014, Arc 174 at 4. Here, the county was not made a defendant, and the circuit court was without jurisdiction to provide the relief Siegel sought. The circuit court was correct in stating that Siegel's available remedy was a separate action in the civil division of circuit court or some other remedy. Accordingly, we affirm on this point. End of quote. As to plaintiff's constitutional challenge, it proved moot. Quote, we declined to reach these constitutional arguments because they are moot. Generally, a case becomes moot when any judgment rendered would have no practical legal effect upon a then existing legal controversy. End of quote. End of decision. The second case on state and local government this week comes from the Arkansas Court of Appeals. In Curris Pharmacy v. Arkansas State Board of Pharmacy, 2021 ARC App 500, the Arkansas State Board of Pharmacy revoked the licenses of a pharmacy and pharmacist on several grounds in a case where the pharmacy contacted workers' compensation patients and then submitted requests to treating physicians for prescriptions of pain cream, which were about $900 a tube with several refills. In fact, neither the patients nor treating physicians had sought the compounded medication before the pharmacy intervention. The insurance carriers found the medication was not reasonable nor necessary, and following investigations, the license revocation procedures began. Judge Murphy, in affirming, explained, around 2018, the board received information from the Arkansas Insurance Department, or AID, regarding an investigation it was conducting into the business practices of Centric and Zelensky. Zelensky was the pharmacist in charge. Of specific concern to AID was the practice of representatives from Centric cold-calling people who were recipients of workers' compensation benefits, taking their information, contacting their doctors, filling prescriptions for them, and then billing the workers' compensation insurance carrier thousands of dollars for what was later deemed medically unnecessary medication. AID had provided the board with the findings from three administrative review orders investigating the appellant's conduct with three separate patients. The story was mostly the same for each one. All three patients suffered different work-related injuries: dehydration, shoulder knee injury, and thumb injury. Centrix contacted them and led them to believe that the pharmacy was affiliated with their workers' compensation carrier. After collecting their information, Centrix prepared patient request forms for each of the patients. The forms had language such as, your patient is requesting a prescription for a topical pain cream. Please have the doctor sign, date, and add the ICD-10 code. Please fax back to our pharmacy. And medical necessity, avoid potential addiction to oral pain meds. Cannot perform ADLs on oral pain meds, combining multiple active ingredients into one dose. One form also stated in all caps, attention, patient really wants cream for pain patient will call today. These forms were sent to the patient's doctors for their signatures. End of quote. The standard of review in an appeal from the Administrative Procedures Act is closely controlled. Quote, the appellants would have us view the evidence in a light more favorable to them to reach a conclusion different from the board's. That is not the test. Our review is simple. If there is substantial evidence to support the agency's decision, we affirm the agency's decision. Giving the evidence here its strongest probative force in favor of the agency's ruling, which we are required to do, we hold that the board's findings and conclusions are supported. Accordingly, it is not erroneous to revoke Centris's pharmacy permit and Zelensky's pharmacy license. End of quote. A concurrence written by Judge Hickson added that there is a difference between relaxing rules of evidence in an administrative proceeding and in ignoring the rules. Here there were instances of multiple hearsay regarding alleged statements by the pharmacy that it was, quote, affiliated with the workers' compensation insurance carrier, unquote, which was untrue. Judge Hickson noted there was no objection below to the hearsay and added, I can think of no other judicial setting that multiple levels of hearsay testimony such as this would be allowed. Of importance to this court and our standard of review is that our hands are tied. End of quote. A dissent written by Judge Barrett responded, "I would hold that substantial evidence fails to support the board's finding that Centrix and Zelensky, by nature of his being the pharmacist in charge, misrepresented themselves as the claimant's workers' compensation carrier and that they filled a prescription that was not signed by the claimant's treating physician. Accordingly, I would reverse and dismiss." A plain reading of the script makes it very clear that Centrix is not affiliated with the workers' compensation insurance carrier as found by the board. Rather, the script on several occasions clearly identifies the caller as a representative of Centrix Pharmacy, not a representative of a workers' compensation carrier, because if Centrix were associated with the carrier, it would already have the information requested. By simply reading the majority opinion, one could be led to believe that Centrix was engaging in fraudulent activity. However, the majority points to only part of the phone script that was before the board. Additionally, there was no evidence at the hearing that the Centrix employees who contacted patients A, B, and C deviated from the script. End of quote. The dissenting opinion, which Judge Vaught joined, concluded, "I agree that elements of Centrix's business practice appear shady and distasteful. Even the attorney for Centrix and Zelensky conceded this at the hearing. However, shady and distasteful are not the standards of review this court is required to apply in this case. While I recognize that our standard of review in administrative appeals is more limited than in a typical appeal, and we give great deference to the board's expertise and view the evidence in the strongest probative force in favor of the board, I would hold that substantial evidence presented at this board hearing does not support the board's findings of fraud, deceit, and misrepresentation. Accordingly, I would reverse and dismiss." End of quote. End of decision.